Honorable Minister Coleman Nyangyuk, the Minister of Defense and Veterans Affairs, welcome to this special interview for Radio Miraya. Today is a remarkable day in the history of Sudan and South Sudan, and today you have signed with the Sudanese counterpart, or the General Chief of Staff of the Sudanese Army. You have signed another face inside the activation of the border deals that is being signed in 2012, and now it's 6 years now, but it seems today you have made a breakthrough. Just briefly, what is the breakthrough you can tell the people about?
Well, the breakthrough is that the two presidents, President Salva Kiir Mayardit and President Omar Hassan al-Bashir, signed a cooperation agreement between the two countries for the normalization and promotion of the relation between the two countries. This implementation of this cooperation was hanging on the creation of a demilitarized border zone between the two countries. That means the two forces, the SPLA, was to move 10 kilometers from their positions, and ORSAF was to move backward 10 kilometers from their position and along the Sudan, South Sudan border, from Ethiopia up to Central African Republic. This did not happen because of a lot of challenges. The Sudan government could not pull back their force because they thought we were supporting the SPLM, SPLA North, and they were accusing us of that and thought that we were going to invade them. And also, they were supporting also our militia forces who used to go to Sudan and get the arms and all this. So we could not pull back our forces because there was no guarantee. We tried to pull back in Panakwaj and in five places, and these places, the other armed groups, the militia groups, came and occupied them, and therefore we thought pulling back, these militia would just simply occupy them, and therefore we decided to retake those places. And therefore, we could not implement. Now, for the last 6 months, and also there had been a number of meetings in Khartoum and in Addis under the auspices of the African High-Level Implementation Panel led by Thabo Mbeki, President Thabo Mbeki, and President Abdeslam Aboubakar. Every now and then we agree, but nothing was moving forward. But recently we have just moved our forces, and especially when we realized that we liberated the areas at the border area, then we pull our forces out from their positions. And Sudan government reported that they have also pulled back. And UNUSPA was the one to oversee the implementation of this agreement to check whether the forces really have moved away from the safe border demilitarized zone, and to report to the African High Level Implementation Panel, because President Bashir was saying the cooperation agreement cannot be implemented unless we first create the buffer zone, the demilitarized zone. So now both of us reported that we have done this. The African, the UNUSPA, made the aerial survey, and they keep on flying and by air to see whether there was movement of hostile forces across these areas. And they verified and that we had pulled out Sudan government said they pull out from the areas. But again, when they went on the ground, they realized also that we had, there are some aid positions that have not been vacated by the two forces along the Congo border. And both of us are saying we have pulled out. So now the agreement is that a joint team will have to go to such places along the border, the UNISPA, the representative of the SPLA and SAF will be moving together to verify on the ground. And if there are forces that are found still to be inside, then they have to move out. This has to be done within until the end of February. Meanwhile, the committees will be meeting for the establishment of the cross-border areas. That is the Minister of Interior and Customs will be, and Finance will be meeting for the establishment of four corridors along the Congo border. Also, that must have to take place within 9 days. And we'll come and report back. And then the security committees will also be meeting in Juba to see how we have gone ahead with the implementation. So there was really, this time there has been some sort of seriousness to see that we create this buffer zone so that the relation between our two countries are come to normal. Already we have seen many South Sudanese are going to Sudan, they cross. These are economic migrants. Sometimes they are called refugees, but they are economic migrants going to look for employment in the Sudan. Of course, there are some few refugees when as a result of the war of 2013. But also, on the northern Sudanese have come also to South Sudan in a very big way with their cattle. There are millions of cows and sheep and goats that have crossed to Upper Nile and Upper Nile and Ladjor State to come and to graze and get water, and they will stay in South Sudan for 5 to 6 months. Also, it is the same also in the former northern Bahr el-Ghazal. Also, the Musiri and then the Zegar, they also come to the south. There is trade that is going on along the border, although it is not official, but it is taking place. The northern Sudanese, they come and carry the gum arabic from the south, and also they come and take the simsim, and also we receive the goods, essential goods also come from the Sudan. So there is already that relationship. And we have seen the government of northern Upper Nile have gone recently to Rabat to visiting the White Nile and was received. And before him, the governor of White Nile, which the government had come to Reng. So the relations between the two countries, people of the two countries, are really moving ahead. Only the political side, which is lacking behind. And we think that is not in our interest. So we are determined to see that we implement this security meeting so that it opens door for the other points of the cooperation agreement to take place. The meeting was very cordial and very good, and we have agreed, and it seems there is now seriousness here.
This is coming in the context of developments also inside South Sudan. And as you are saying, the peace agreement with the opposition, it is still there, still issues there, cessation of hostilities agreement. Now, talks are going to resume, seeing resuming tomorrow. But also in the meantime, we have just heard the other day, sanctions, unilateral sanctions from the USA, which is arms embargo on South Sudan, unilateral arms embargo on South Sudan. I don't know if the government has formulated a position about this development, just in a quick answer.
Of course, we have given our position to the Americans that this is not has not come at a good time. America cannot sanction arms when the rebels are getting arms, and this will even make peace talks very difficult, because the rebels will say now, oh, now the government has been deprived from getting arms. Then it is chance for us now to fight, because nobody will sanction them. These are rebels; they know where they get their arms. They get them from here and there. America is not sanctioning them, so it means they will even be difficult to in the peace talks here, revitalization. Peace process, forum. They will even make it difficult for them to reach an agreement. So I think America did not, either they were doing it intentionally because they want to weaken the government of South Sudan and overthrow it. We hear that some people, such voices. So it's not, it's unfriendly, and it's really very irresponsible.
Yeah. If you are given an opportunity to be asked or to tell the U.S. administration, what do you exactly want them to do?
Well, I would really say they have to withdraw that statement because it is not helping. It's even, will even cause more, I learned from one of the BBC reporters that by the or assessment that by the end of the year, the number of refugees of South Sudan refugees will rise to 3.6 million by the end of this year. Why do they forecast such a situation at the time American were announcing the sanctions? So I really would tell the Americans not to. And even the UN National Security Council should not even approve this. They should not even support this. And I will call upon the Americans. Of course, that is a decision of the American government. And the Congress, they are also, it's another power that can also block it. So I will tell the Americans to block this. It's not a healthy decision. It will even result into more death.
My last question is about the secession of hostilities agreement itself. Criticisms have been coming out here and there, and the SPLA, the government forces, have been also making statements through your spokesperson. And as we are going back to the second round, second phase of the revitalization, what is your aspiration in this? What is your hope that a breakthrough will be reached so that this review of the secession of hostilities agreement will hold, so that it can also open the way for other processes?
Well, we have already instructed or ordered our forces to remain in their positions, not to attack, and if they want to move for administrative purposes, then they inform the JMAC and they take permission so that also they are able to take their logistics, because forces cannot be cut off. So, and this is what we have been moving. When our force went to UI, they took a permission from JVMM and JMAC, and they went up to Wat and went to Ayot, and this is what we will be doing. Well, I think the rebels also, some of them, most of them are complying with this, but there are still some who may not be under the control of their commanders, who are still, they want to gain, because our team has declared the positions where the SPLA forces are. They have already been declared and given to the meeting, but the rebels refuse to give the positions they are in. Maybe they want to move and attack and occupy more areas. We give the position, the commanders of the forces that are in those places. That if there is any situation, any violation in the movement, they can be called. But the rebels have not given that information. So we think it is not in good faith. Of course, the rebels are in very, very few places, and they are in Akobo, they are in Walgak, and they are in Tunja. Very, very few places they are in. But we don't mind, of course, it's a peace that is being made. If they remain there and peace talks go ahead, still we are one people, we'll still unite. They will not be deprived, they will get their positions in the government. So I think they should. Yeah.
Last question is, there were occasions or statements attributed to you recently, and these statements are basically about reforms in the government forces. Reforms in the government forces. It seems you have some ambitious plans, vision to introduce them into the army. So what are you trying really to do?
Well, we want to reduce the size of the army, because the war, there are good ghost names within the parade of the army, and therefore a lot of budget, a lot of money that go to the SPLA, much of it goes to the ghost names, and therefore we call the SPLA General Command Council, call a meeting, and they address themselves to this, and they really found that a huge sum of money was going. There was something about 70,000 ghost names that have been discovered, and they are now going to be removed from it. But again, the SPLA, you find there are people who have become old. They are in the parade, and they are soldiers, but they cannot do military work because they are too weak to be. Such people have to be removed. So we want to downsize the army, so that it saves us money to buy equipment for the army. A small army, which is well equipped and well trained, is better than a huge army that does not have this. So this is what we want to do. We want to, it's a part of the transformation and professionalization of the army, and training them. And now we'll start is bringing in young people, recruiting young people who are educated. Once they finish secondary school, they shouldn't mind about how much salary they are going to get. They will get the same salary of they get a secondary school leavers, but more allowances will be added. We may even be more than the salary they'll be getting. To transform it means we have to bring educated people into the army as soldiers, get university graduates as officers, be trained and become officers, and we try to phase out and improve the quality of army to be like other armies in the region. And this is exactly what I'm intending to do. Now the problem is that those who we are going to remove from the army, what do we do? So again, we are planning. Unit of planning is doing its work, so that we may not throw them away, but we may give them other training, especially in agriculture and other jobs which are easy for them to earn money from. So we'll try to create employment for them.
Yeah, for this, in this regard, I've been having discussion on issues of pension, the National Pension Fund. And they informed me that the army is part of the organized forces, and their pension scheme is still pending, and many of the officers are just waiting for that.
Yes, now the officers that we remove from the army that are relieved, they are put in the waiting in the reserve list, and they still get their salary until we work out the policy of pension. or deploy some of them in other government positions. Now we have forwarded the budget policy. It has been passed by the Council of Ministers. It has been, the pension policy, it has been passed to the Minister of Justice to go to the Parliament so that a law comes out, a pension law comes out. That will help us manage or address ourselves to the issues of pension.
Yeah. Last message, as we are going back to the Revitalization Forum, from a security perspective, what the message you would like to send to the people of South Sudan?
Well, our forces have to, we need all our people, whether they are carrying arms, those who are carrying arms against the government, to give this revitalization a chance. Because it will address their need. This is why we created what is now known as the National Dialogue. Because the National Dialogue, people must have to dialogue. What are our challenges? We have to identify the challenges and try to find a solution to some of these. And this is what we should adopt in resolving our problems, instead of people just getting angry, go and get the gun, fight. That is, we are destroying our country. So through the national dialogue, we can be able to resolve this amicably and peacefully. So I ask them to abide by the cessation of hostilities, and our SPLA also to be not to go on offensive, of course, we have told them already. And the people who are coming for the forum to be realistic, because they are coming with some ideas, thinking that the government is to be dissolved and then the new government is formed. It cannot happen. It will not happen that way. So they should be realistic also. Yes, there could be expansion of the government. Some people in the government may go away and some will come in. And what is the problem with our people? If I lose my position as a Minister of Defense, does it matter? I can go and farm. Can we all be ministers in South Sudan? So we must have to go to the private sector. We must be creative, build our nation in many ways. So I think our people really, because it is not serving them. It's not serving anybody when we remain in. By the way, our people do not know the crisis that we have. Can also happen in Ethiopia here. Can happen in Uganda, in Kenya. All this, where will they go? If we don't solve our problem now, and problems come up here, wars come up here in Ethiopia, in Sudan, in other places, don't they think that also the same situation in South Sudan can happen here? Where will they go to? So it's better we put our house in order and leave these issues of hangover. Some people are saying in 2013, this government is going to fall within 3 months. The UN is going to take it over, the African Union high. What are going to take the government? The forces in the UNMISS forces and the RPF are going to overthrow the government. It never happened. Many years have gone. So they should not really live on speculations. And also calling our people in the social media also to give peace a chance. That is none of their work. Their work is supposed to learn what is there in the website for them to do. The computer and the internet gives the people chance or opportunity to explore and find out how they can make living. I want to be a trader. What do I need? I want to be a carpenter. I want to be what? What goods do I have in Yerul, which are needed in Juba? What goods do I have in Juba, which are needed in Torit? See, this is the work of the of the website, so that exchanging of goods and so on. So this is what I can say.